With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Joining us now to give us the inside access on Wes Unseld, the player and the man, a longtime Bullets and Wizards broadcaster and an icon in D.C. Media, Steve Buckhantz joins us now. And Steve, good afternoon. How are you, sir?
I'm hanging in there, guys. I'm, you know, trying to get through. Every day something new happens, and I think everybody's trying to come to grips with it and get through it, and that's what I've been doing. So I'm healthy anyways. My family's healthy, and that's good. Thanks for asking.
Steve, we have a very important question before we get on to Wes Unseld, and it's a debate that's been going on the show all day. Are you bar soap or body wash?
I'm a bar soap guy, absolutely.
Yeah, buddy. Darn right you are.
Yeah, specifically, and I change from now and again, but I'm partial to Irish Spring, a couple of different originals, and also the Moisture Blast. I like that. Yeah. And but you know, traveling to all the different hotels that we did, we become accustomed to a lot of different soaps.
Yeah.
But most of the players used to tell me that they'd bring their own soap to the hotel because the bars in the hotel were way too small for them. That's a good point.
Man,
I can see that.
Yes, absolutely. That is good foresight on their part. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, obviously we lost a legend today, Buck. Did you know that Wes was sick, or did this come as sort of as a surprise? I hadn't heard anything, you know, myself. Not that I'm super connected to the situation or anything, but
yeah, no. I mean, his health has not been good for a while. Now we knew that. Now to what extent or this extreme extent, we didn't know. I knew last night when I talked to Phil Chenier, who told me that he was in pretty serious condition. And so when this happened today, I was not as stunned as I would have been had I not even spoken to Phil about it. But we've known for a while, obviously, that his health has not been great.
Right.
Unfortunately, you know, there were a number of times when he would come to some Wizard games. It's been a couple of years, but there were times that you know, when he was healthy enough where he would show up and come, and people would see him, and he'd walk around and all of that. And I remember when we had training camp not too long ago at Towson State. Mm-hmm. 1 year, we had training camp there, and Wes was there. In fact, Wes showed up with Mike Reardon. I took this really neat picture of him and Mike Reardon and Phil Chenier together, and I thought that was kind of cool. And I think Bobby Dandridge was there as well.
Wow.
So being so close, obviously, to where Wes lived, he was able to make that trip. But as his health began to wane, you stopped seeing him really publicly.
Steve Buckhantz joining us to Inside Access with Jason Lockenfor and Ken Wyman. For people that are too young to realize the player that Wes Unseld was, just the guy won Rookie of the Year and MVP the first season, how great a player was he?
Well, considering that only one other person in the history of the sport has ever done that, I'd say he was a pretty good player.
Yeah.
The only other player to win Rookie of the Year and MVP in their first season, obviously, was Will Chamberlain. So that's pretty telling. You know, you got to remember when he played, it was a different era, okay? There was no social media. There was no ESPN. There weren't cell phones. There wasn't any internet or any of that stuff. So the highlights that you would see, you would get from a game that was on TV, or maybe a videotape crew was at the game, and they'd bring some highlights back to the TV station, and you'd see it on the news. And that was pretty much it. And now if you Google him, you'll see some stuff. But you don't get to see what we do today because the exposure wasn't then what it is now. But I think we all know, for those of us who watched him, I watched him as a kid when I was, I don't know, 12 years old, 11 years old. My parents would take me from Arlington to the Baltimore Civic Center to see him play with, you know, with Gus Johnson and Earl Monroe and Jack Maron and Kevin Lockery and those guys, to when he made the transition to becoming, you know, playing and winning the championship, which I was blessed to be able to cover that in my first job in TV, coming up from Harrisonburg. We covered them in 77. And then getting to know him as a coach and a GM. But as a player, he was a hell of a player. I mean, he was not tall, as you know. They listed him at 6'7". He might have been 6'7", maybe 6'6". But as you've seen, he was huge. I mean, his girth. I mean, I can remember one time watching a game that was being called by Skip Carey, who was a great Atlanta Braves and Hawks announcer.
Yeah.
And he said when Unsell was getting ready to come in to the game from the bench, Skip Carey said, "An apartment complex is getting set to check in for Washington." You know, and then that's the kind of, you know, reputation and physical nature that he had. He was a great rebounder, a great shot blocker. He set bone-jarring picks, as you can imagine. I mean, Phil Chenier used to say to me, Wes would say when somebody was getting into Phil's face, Wes would say, "Just run him off me. Run him off me." And when you did that, guys would hit him, and I saw guys fall to the ground. I mean, they fell to the hardwood because it was like running into a brick wall. And, of course, his rebounding is legendary. You know, he would pick a ball off the glass and turn in before ever coming to the ground and throw it the length of the court to a guy streaking down court for a layup. And he did that with tremendous accuracy. So, you know, I mean, and it's to the point where Kevin Love, you know, who – you know, the Love family, Stan Love played, obviously, for the Bullets back then. Kevin attributed some of his rebounding skills, or most of them, to Wes Unsell because he saw that as a kid. He was a really, and I think he was undervalued but underpublicized as an offensive player. He didn't have his back to the basket like Elvin Hayes did, but he could shoot. He had a good mid-range shot. And he hit a couple of free throws in the championship game that were enormous. So all around, I think he was a really, really good player. And defensively and as a rebounder, he was in the top five of all time.
You obviously spent a lot of time around him, knew him as a person. I said at the top of the show, I kind of feel like we've only been doing this show for a couple of months. But, you know, Al Kaline passed away. I worked in Detroit for a while. I covered baseball. Nobody has a bad Al Kaline story. Don Shula passed away. Same thing. Like, I don't know anybody who had interaction with Don Shula, never heard, you know, that it was remotely negative. And I feel like Wes is kind of that same sort of character.
Yeah, I would agree with you. You know, he was an interesting personality because when I first met him, and I didn't know him, when I first met him, it was covering him when I covered the Bullets when I was in Harrisonburg. And I remember going into the locker room, and when you'd stick a mic in front of him, because he always had a little sarcastic response to you, no matter what it was. But as you got to know him, you realized that was part of his nature, part of his personality. But when you stuck a mic in front of him, and if you didn't ask him the right question, he'd look at you like, "You are a dumbass," you know. and then you, of course, I was so young, and I felt like a fool, but. He sort of put me in my place, and then you'd ask another question, and he'd sort of break out of, you know, he'd come clean and give you a really good sound bite. And that's sort of the way he was all the time. He loved to mess with you. I mean, whenever I'd see him, he'd give me some sort of grief, you know. He had this basketball camp in Annapolis, and this is when I was at Channel 5, and he would say to you, he sent me a basketball. He wanted coverage of his camp. It was a fantasy camp. And he sent me a basketball. I still have the ball. I'm going to take a picture and tweet it out. And he sent me the ball, and it said on it, "Get your butt out here, Wes." And I got my butt out there. I went out there and covered the camp and participated in it. And, you know, if he told you to do something, you did it, you know. There was one time we were in New Jersey at a hotel. And they had stuck me, my room was underneath of the kitchen. And it was so loud, it was outrageous. And I called up the general manager and told him, you know, said, "Listen, I need to be in a different room because this is crazy. And I'm thinking about maybe not bringing the team back here next year." Well, an hour later, the phone rang, and it was Wes. And he said, "What in the hell are you doing? Do not call the general manager and tell them that you're not bringing the team back here next year." So, you know, and you just, my hair stood on the back of my neck. So that's the kind of guy he was. He was big and mountainous, but a really fun guy and a nice dude. And once you got to know him, man, he was just a pleasure to be around. I really, really enjoyed him. He was a smart guy, a great player, and just, you know, he was the face of the franchise. He will always be the most recognizable bullet of all time.
Steve Buckhantz joining us. It's Inside Access with Jason Lockenfor and Ken Wyman. Steve, before we let you go, ESPN is doing a whole night this evening on Len Bias. They're doing an hour live show remembering him. Then they're showing the 86 game, Maryland, North Carolina at the Dean Dome. I think Maryland was the first team to win at the Dean Dome. And then re-showing the 30 for 30. Just as someone who's been in the area and was, I'm pretty sure was there around the time he passed and saw him play, just your thoughts about Len Bias.
Would be difficult for me to forget. He died on my birthday in 1986, June 19th.
Wow.
And I had taken the day off, and I was out playing golf when the word came down. And of course, it happened the word broke at 6 o'clock in the morning, and they called me on the golf course, and I came in obviously, and every sportscaster did a very heartfelt segment on Len Bias. It was tragic, obviously. Was ironic. He was at our TV station the Sunday before he died. We brought him in to do our Sports Extra show. So he came into the station. We had this life-size poster of him on the door of the sports office that he signed. Somebody has that. I don't know who it is. It's not me, but it was there. And we sat and we talked. And in that 30 for 30, I think they used some of our our sound bites because I asked him about, you know, being a professional athlete and what it's like to. Of course, he wasn't a professional athlete then, but he was about to be hit, you know, but was going to be drafted by the Celtics a few days later. And you know, having so much time on your hands, and you hear some players that they get involved in bad things or drugs or whatever. And he said, you know, he came out and said, I spend a lot of my time shopping. I like clothing, and that's sort of what I do. And so that's in the 30 for 30, and it was just tragic because, you know, he was a local guy. I know his mother. Obviously, his brother died tragically as well. And he would have been a great player, man. He was so good. He was just so good, and he would have been a hell of a player. It really was tragic that he lost his life like that. And then, you know, obviously Lefty departed Maryland not too long after that, and it just wasn't good. But it was a tragic thing, man. It really was, and I'll never forget that day as long as I live.
Steve Buckhantz, man, thank you. Thank you so much for your time. We really do appreciate it. I'll tell you, I feel like I grew up watching you, and I sincerely miss you doing the game. So,
Am I that
big
old?
Big time.
God. No. Hey, appreciate that. Thanks,
no, real
man.
Quick,
thank
tell
you,
everybody
thank
about
you,
your Ken. Podcast with Phil real quick. Where can people find your podcast with Phil Chenier?
Again, not being technology savvy, the easiest way for me to tell people to find it is if you Google On the Road with Buck and Phil, which is the name of the podcast.
Okay.
On the Road with Buck and Phil, if you Google it, or Twitter, it's at Buck and Phil, and then you'll find it, and you can listen to any episode you want.
Thanks, Excellent. Steve, so much.
Thank you so much.
Hey, thank you, guys. Take care. Be safe.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.